And so we look this morning at our text in Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? This chapter, as you know, for we have been in it for several weeks now, commences with a call from God to comfort his people. Comfort ye, my people. That's how the chapter starts. That's how the chapter continues. That's how it ends. And in fact, that's how it goes throughout the rest of the book. It's about God's interest in the comfort of his people. But now in verse 27, we are beginning to see for the first time, perhaps, why God's people need comfort. They say, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. And those words betray the state of their mind. Those words manifest the state of their heart. And those words show that they are a people indeed that do need comfort. He who reads the hearts of all men reads especially the hearts of his people. And he knows what's going on in there. And he knows what they're saying in there. He sees it. And he knows this spirit of despondency. My way is hid from the Lord. He doesn't see. My judgment, God passes over it as if he doesn't care. Those words are an expression of despondency. Those are the words of a downcast people. Those are the words of a discouraged congregation. Those are the words of depression. They may even be the words of despair. My way is hid from the Lord. And so my subject this morning is despondency in the people of God. Despondency in the people of God. This morning we want to look at its cause, and God willing, tonight we will consider its cure. So, whenever I speak about despondency, I do remind you I'm talking about despondency in the Christian. I'm talking about despondency in the child of God. Of course, the ungodly wicked get depressed and downcast as well. And they have their comforts in this life, and they have their toys by which they try to lift their minds. They have their drugs, their drink, their diversions. They have their pursuits as they endeavor to lift their minds. But at the end of the day, we have to say the poor sinner who is not a Christian, we have to say to him, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no rest, no true rest, no true cure for the despondency of sinners' hearts outside of Jesus Christ. There's not. The sinner is at war with God. There's no dealing, while he may have his diversions and his toys and his distractions, the sinner isn't dealing with the root cause. The sinner isn't dealing with the matter of sin. The sinner isn't dealing with the matter of reconciliation with God. The whole foundation of all his problems is that he is at warfare with God. And so, of course, the sinner's going to be despondent. There's no peace to the wicked. And so what the sinner has to do is to start listening to the word of God and start flying to Jesus Christ, the great physician, as he is revealed in the Word. But I am not speaking about despondency in the unregenerate. who are at war with God and who needs well be depressed being at war with him. I am speaking of despondency in the Christian. I am speaking about it in the people of God. The saints can become downcast, and the best of saints can become very downcast. I could take you to David. I could take you to Jeremiah. I could take you to Elijah. I could take you to any of the dear servants of God, and there were times in their lives when they had to say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Yes, the best of the saints can become despondent, but it's clear in our text, isn't it? I don't have to bring you to David or to Elijah or to Jeremiah. It's said here concerning all the people of God that they have these negative thoughts in their mind and in their heart oftentimes. The Lord is not just saying here one or two believers are expressing this as their opinion, but God is coming to the whole congregation, O Jacob. God is coming to the whole assembly and saying, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over by my God. You can see the whole congregation seems to be despondent. And so you see, child of God, depression and being downcast affects all the saints at some time or other. If you, child of God, become despondent and at times awfully depressed, don't let the devil say to you, "You're the only one who ever feels like this." Don't let the devil say to you, "You're the only one who ever gets down." The devil would make you think that you're the only one, but it's a lie. You remember how Peter wrote to the believers in 1 Peter 5, and he said, concerning the devil, "Resist him steadfast in the faith." And then he says, "Know something. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren." You're not the only one who gets down. You're not the only one who has these afflictions. You're not the only one who faces discouragement. So as you stand fast against the devil and you think you stand fast alone, know this, that your brethren have the same afflictions. They face the same discouragements and they have to battle with the same depression. So don't, child of God, think that you are an anomaly, one on your own, someone who is abnormal in the Christian walk. Child of God, if you're down this morning, you're not an abnormality. And don't let the devil make you think you are. The Lord is kept exceedingly busy, I assure you, in the work of comfort. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and the verse 6, God, and it's as if this is his career, God that comforteth those that are cast down. That's what he does. And he's busy at it. But notice what else Paul adds. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. So here's the Apostle Paul himself. And even Paul himself needed encouragement. Even Paul himself needed comfort. He wasn't always on the mountaintop. And you, child of God, won't be always there either. The text proves it. Maybe you feel that the text is your text this morning. Maybe these words are even going through your mind in some equivalent form. The Lord doesn't care. The Lord doesn't see. The Lord doesn't seem to be concerned about my troubles. And so let us observe the text this morning. Despondency in the people of God. Notice how the people of God express that despondency. And then let us consider its cause. Let us look in a little detail at the expression of despondency as it comes forth from the hearts of the people of God. The Lord, I remind you, he's looking into their hearts. I don't know if they're saying this out verbally. I don't think they are. But certainly these thoughts are going on in here, in their heart, in their mind. The Lord is reading their thoughts. The Lord is reading their mind. He's seeing all this negativity. And there are a number of things in those words. Because a words betray the heart. As a man speaketh and thinketh, so is he. And these words, which are coming out of the heart, deep down in there, which God reads, they reveal quite a bit. They betray the people of God, the way they think. And I want you to notice, first of all, and this is very important, while there is all this negativity, and while they are downcast, and while they are depressed, I want you to notice this. The Lord is still in their thoughts. They're thinking about the Lord, even though they're thinking wrongly about the Lord. They're still thinking about the Lord. Every thought has a thought about God. You will notice, my way is hid from Jehovah. My judgment is passed over from my God. Do you see that, child of God? All this inward thinking about their ways and their judgment, so on and so forth, about themselves, it is full of self-pity. That's true. There's no question about it. But they're not just thinking about themselves. Jehovah, my God. Even though they are down in the depths, God is still in their thoughts. And they're still thinking about the Lord. Jehovah's name is mentioned, and even the personal relationship is referred to. My God. And that reveals quite a bit. It reveals that they're Christians. It reveals that they're the true people of God. So even though they're down, they're thinking about their relationship to the Lord. And that reveals quite a bit. You see, the wicked and the unregenerate and the ungodly, they repress the thought of God. They shut them out. And the more down they are, the more they will shut them out. They repress the knowledge of him, and they repress every thought of him. And yes, they'll be full of self-pity, and they'll be caught up in their ways, and they'll say, why is it like this, and why could it not be better, so on and so forth. But they'll repress the thought of God, but not a true Christian. One who has been born again has a God consciousness. And he always has a God consciousness. Because he's been made alive to God. But the sinner hasn't. The unregenerate sinner hasn't. He's always dead to God. And he's even more dead to God when he's down there in the dumps. The wicked do not like to retain the knowledge of God. But the downcast saint, even his thoughts, while full of negativity, are towards God in some way or other. Of the hypocrite it is said, God is not in all his thoughts. But that cannot be said of the child of God. God is in all his thoughts. Even when he's down in the dumps. A Christian is one, you see, who has a relationship with the Lord. My God! He knows there's that relationship. The Lord to the Christian is not the neighbor across the road who you just think about when you see now and again. A Christian is one who has a relationship with God. And all his negative thinking even has God in it. You see, there's a relationship. He is your Lord, child of God. He is your Savior. He is your husband in your house. We think much and often of our spouses and do nothing, but there is always some consideration of them in some way or other. And so it is with a believer and a Christian and the Lord. He's always considered in some way or other. He's always there. That relationship with Christ can never be broken. The Christian can never, never get away from it. And even when we are despondent and discouraged, He is in our thoughts. True, the thoughts are negative. They're wrong thoughts. Does He love us? Does He care? Am I really His child? Do I please Him? Very often the thought is wrong and negative. But He's in them all. We're always able to say, how badly do we become? My God. My God. And then I want you to notice, secondly, that this isn't just a momentary lapse of negativity. It's not just a bad day experience. I have to say that as you look at this text, this is a prevailing mood. This is not just a bad feeling and a bad day that they're having and one or two bad thoughts. No, this is a prevailing mood of despondency. We could nearly call it depression. You will notice how the Holy Spirit puts it. There's an emphasis there by the Spirit of the Lord. Why sayest thou and speakest, O Israel? It's as if the people of God are saying it all the time. Why are you keep saying it? And why are you always speaking it? It's a constant thought. It's not just a momentary relapse. It's not just the devil coming along with a wee thought and injecting it in, and it goes. It's not like that. It's a mood. It's a despondency. You're saying it, and you're speaking it, and you're going over it, and you're turning it again, and you're always reflecting on it, and you're always saying it, so that you're beginning to think like that. You know what it is? These saints have developed a way of thinking like this all the time. You know what it is? Sometimes the thought enters, the Lord doesn't love me. Sometimes the thought enters. But you chase it away. You take hold of the word of the Lord. And the thought is driven away and it doesn't take root. And that's how we should treat negative thoughts and unbelieving thoughts. Thoughts which are contrary to the word of God. We should treat them quickly with the word of God and shoo them away with the scriptures so that they don't find a root in our mind. Martin Luther used to say about thoughts, he says, I get many thoughts. And the birds of the devil are always flying around my mind. He says, they're always flying around my mind. But I don't let them nest. I don't let them nest. These people have let them nest. That's the difference. We get unbelieving thoughts. We get discouraging thoughts. Whatever their source, the devil or unbelieving heart, whatever. But if those thoughts get root and they become a feeling and it gets deeper and becomes a way of thinking and it soon becomes a mood, a permanent mood, a permanent way of thinking in the people of God. It's like feelings. Our feelings change, don't they? Good feelings, bad feelings, we have them all the time, and they're usually related to our way of thinking. But the danger is that wrong thoughts contrary to the word of God, become permanent is. And that becomes more than changing feelings. That becomes a mood contrary to the Word of God and to the kind of mood a saint of God has. A despondent mood is not easy to shift. It's like a habit. Some things occasionally practiced soon form a habit, and they're not easy to shift. And there are Christians who are thinking unbiblically, who are thinking contrary to the Word of God, and their thought patterns have become entrenched and have formed in them a prevailing mood of despondency. And that's what's happening here in verse 27. You are saying, you are speaking, you have let the unbiblical thoughts prevail and take root, and you're clearly speaking it out of your own heart now and thoughts. As well as that, the Hebrew tense is continuous. You keep saying, you keep speaking. This is what you're saying all the time, my people. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. That's just the way you think now. That's the way you feel. And so this verse is really describing a fairly heavy depression and awful negative thinking about God. Of course, we would know that from this chapter, wouldn't we, that we've been looking at. This is a people in heavy despondency because God is reason after reason why they should be comforted. Comforting them, bringing Christ before them, telling them about the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, showing them God's power and sovereignty and how the nations are but a drop in the bucket. Time and time again, he's showing them his greatness, showing him the feebleness of the nations and of all the hosts that gather round them. You only read to read the chapter to say, my, that people must be really down in the dumps when they need God to come and talk like that. They are a despondent people. And there are saints like that. They've got into such a way of thinking that all the glorious preaching of the gospel doesn't lift their souls. Doesn't comfort them. They've got into such a deep lead thinking about God and about the gospel, so contrary to the Word of God, that they're no longer comforted by it. And God has to come to his preachers and say, comfort ye my people. Get them out of that mindset by telling them to their heart, the warfare is finished, their iniquity is dealt with, and they've received double blessing at God's hand. And while the preacher does that, they still don't seem to be comforted. Because they've got into this prevailing mood, God doesn't care for me. You will notice too that the despondency is manifested as complaining. Complaining is very often a sign of underlying depression. It's easy to recognize an unhappy people. They are always the complainers. And so it is here. They're complaining. My way is hid from the Lord. Unhappiness is always manifested, you see, in complaint. And there are saints like that, and they complain about this and they complain about that. Often very trivial things, but you know that something underneath, much deeper, they're not happy. Their relationship with the Lord is not bringing them one of joy and gladness and contentment. And so complaint is a symptom of something deep underlying beneath, something deep underneath. Of course, human nature knows how to cover up complaining and just keep it in the house or just keep it in the heart. But the problem is, while men don't see the complaint, God does. God does. As I said before, I don't think this is verbally outspoken. This is just the way they're thinking, saying in themselves, speaking out of their hearts. God sees it. God sees the complaining. The text is a complaint. And these complaints are not to God. Do you notice that? The people in the text aren't saying, "Lord, Lord, you don't see my way." They're not complaining to God. They're complaining about God. "My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over by my God." They're not even complaining to the Lord. Child of God, if you've a complaint about God, at least give it to the Lord in his face. If we complain about God and his dealings with us, let us at least have the integrity to get before him and to tell it to his face. And so, child of God, perhaps this is you today. You have not only had some unbiblical thinking, you have developed a thought pattern contrary to the word of God. You can't think anything else. No matter how often the word of God is brought to you, you still can't think or feel anything else. This is what you think. This is what you feel. Your heart is just a continual complaint about the Lord's dealings with you. Let us notice carefully the contents of these two complaints. They are two complaints. The first one is, "My way is hid from the Lord." And the second one is, "My judgment is passed over from my God." Similar complaints, but the nouns and the verbs change in each. If we take the first one, "My way is hid from the Lord." The way here is a journey or a road, or a course of life. The road I'm going on, the way I'm travelling, the route I am taking, and particularly to the fore is the thought of the difficulties on that way. It's not an easy way. It's a hard way. It's a difficult way. It's a way beset with troubles and trials. My hard way, if we were to paraphrase it, my difficult way, as if nobody else has a difficult way. My hard, my difficult way. My way is hard. That's what the believer's playing here. Maybe you think that about you, child of God. My way is hard. No other Christian has it the way I have it. My way is hard. Do you think like that? Do you think you walk this way alone? My way is hard. Others get it easy. No one has the path that I have to trod. I have a difficult way. And that difficult way is hid from the Lord. He doesn't see it. He doesn't seem to see it. The sense is, the way that we tread is somehow unknown to God. Now, of course, no believer thinks like that, because every believer knows God sees everything and God is omniscient. And so no believer says that, just as these words express it. What this thought is saying is, while God is in his omniscience acquainted with my way, what he is saying here is, the Lord's treating me as if he doesn't see it. In other words, as if he doesn't care. He doesn't care. I'm as one out of God's caring mind. The Lord has no interest in me. Oh, I know in the greatness of his omniscience, he knows everything and he knows everybody's way, but he doesn't have any interest in me. My way, the way that I have to tread, it's as if it's unimportant to him. It's as if he is not seeing it. And once the child of God begins to think the Lord has no caring interest in me, once you begin to think like that, and once that thought keeps deep root in your heart, you're going to be despondent. That's negative thinking. That's unbiblical thinking.
and you're going to develop a mood contrary to what the Lord wants you to have as his child. You need to think biblically.
The second expression is similar, except instead of way, the word is judgment, and instead of hid, the verb is passed over. The Lord doesn't care about my judgment. The sense is a court. The man comes into a court, he brings his case, presents it before the judge, makes his plea, lays it all out before the judge. The judge just walks down and goes out the door, as if he never heard. That's what the child of God is saying. I bring my case before him, but he passes over it. This is what he's thinking. He's wrong, but it's what he's thinking. I lay it out before him, and he passes over. He doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't answer my petitions. And I think it is particularly prayers that are especially hinted at here. We bring our cause to God, we pray, and the despondent saint says, God just passes over it. My prayers are never answered. The Lord passes over them like a man passes over a penny in the street, doesn't bother his head about it. So here's a saint, and he thinks the Lord doesn't care, he thinks the Lord doesn't love him, and he thinks the Lord doesn't answer and hear his prayers. Unhappy saint. Now that is despondency. When you think the Lord is not with you on your path and way, when you think the Lord is not beside you on your journey of life, and when you think, for whatever reason, your very prayers are passed over, then you are despondent. And what is the cause of this despondency? And you might say, preacher, that's a very silly question. Is it not obvious what the cause of this despondency is? The difficulty of the way, you say. And I have tried to draw attention to the difficulties that Judah is going through, and the difficulty that Judah is yet to go through, because Judah has been told they're going down into Babylon. They're going to have a difficult way, all right. It's all laid before them. And there's no getting away from that. They are going to have to tread that way. Just as we are going to have to tread our hard path. There's no getting away from our hard path. If the Lord has mapped it out for us, there's no getting away from it. We have to tread it. We are going to go through dark times, just as Judah went through dark times. And you might say, well, if you had the whole prospect of Babylon, you can't blame them for getting depressed. The way is the cause of their despondency, you might say. The child of God, you would be wrong. It's not. No doubt the way of the child of God is hard. And I am not saying that your path is easy, dear Christian. And I am not making it trivial. I am not. I will not trivialize your difficult way. But I am saying this, that difficult way need not be a cause of despondency. And it should not. Yes, the child of God's way is hard. But is it right to say that the root cause of despondency is the difficulty of the way? Think about that. Think of the man of sorrows, unacquainted with grief. Who had a more difficult way to tread than our blessed and adorable Lord? Did it turn him into a complainer? Did it make him a mooner? Do we ever picture our Lord sitting down in the trough of despondency? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame? He was no depressed Savior. And he had the hardest way of all as he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The hardest path of all, but he was no despondent Lord. No, the cause of despondency, its root cause is not in our difficult path that God has ordained for us to tread. No. You'd remember that Paul and the early Christians, they stared death in the face. They counted not their lives dear unto them. They endured all kinds of hardships, and yet they had a joy unspeakable and full of glory. They took up their cross as shining saints. The difficulty of the way is not the root cause of despondency. The greatness of our troubles and trials is not the breeding ground of our despondency. Nor does our despondency arise from want of goodness and kindness in the Lord. The Lord's not the root cause of our despondency. The Lord has given you, child of God, plenty of evidence of his kindness. It's all around you, staring you in the face. It's here in the book. Time after time, he tells you of his love. He tells you of his grace in Jesus Christ. He tells you what you have in the Savior. There is no cause of despondency in God. His goodness and his kindness, his loving kindness abounds to you in the gospel time and time again. He's set it before you, but you've pushed it from you by an unbelieving heart. Yes, unanswered prayer is a problem at times. That is true. And that's a subject in itself. But God does value your prayers. He does. He doesn't pass them over. That is wrong thinking. And you should not think that a no or a wait, simply to try our faith and our sincerity, you are not to think that a no or a wait is God passing over your prayers. Never think like that. Even should you have to wait years. You know, the Lord usually doesn't answer our prayers straight away. Not even the Savior's prayers were answered straight away. If the Savior's prayers were answered straight away, we'd all be in heaven now. Because in John 17, I will, Father, I would that they be with me where I am. We're not there yet. That prayer has not been answered yet in its fullness. Not even the Savior's prayers have all been answered. But he waits, and he doesn't say God's passed them over. Don't you ever say it either. My judgment's passed over from my God. Yes, there is the problem of unanswered prayer, but we shouldn't draw the wrong conclusion. No, if we are despondent, the cause is deeper. It's not the difficulty of the way, and it's not anything in the Lord's goodness and kindness. In this passage, the Lord points out the cause, and they arise out of weakness in faith. They arise out of our own spiritual weakness. They arise out of our unbelief. You must know this, child of God. Do you see there, verse 29? There's a problem with these saints, verse 29. They are the faint. and they have no mate. That's a problem. That's a problem. The problem is not the hardness of the path that God has called you to endure, and the problem is not, the root problem is not anything in God, especially not the way that he's dealing with you in your prayer life. The root problem is you are feeble in faith. And we need to see what the problem is. Don't blame your path, and don't blame your Lord for your despondency, and don't blame the Babylonians, because the Babylonians are just God's hand that he's raised up. It doesn't matter who has brought you the troubles. The question is, who has sent them? That's the question. And it's always God that sends them. We have to tread our hard path, brethren and sisters. And it may get harder. It may get harder. But if you become downcast and get into a mindset of this kind of depressed thinking about your Lord and your relationship to him, it's your own fault. I have to say it. Your despondency arises from your lack of strength, from your weakness in faith and in grace. The problem is, you have no spiritual strength. The strength has decayed. I don't want to go down the avenue of how we are culpable for that decay of strength and how it's our own fault. That would be a sermon in itself. But you have to know this. It's through your weakness of faith that you are cast down. You are not beholding your God. You are not looking into his face with the eye of faith and taking hold of his strength. That's your problem. That's your problem. That's the cause. You may have plenty of knowledge, but you haven't got plenty of faith. Take a little child, a baby beginning to walk, takes its first steps. It falters, it falls. Now, why does the baby fall? Why does the baby fall? Why does the baby go down? Well, you might blame gravity. You might blame an uncaring father and mother. I can assure you that's a very loving home. And the father and mother are very loving in that home and have brought that baby into the world and love that baby and care for that baby. That baby's fall was not due to the father and mother. That baby's fall was not due to gravity. That baby's fall was not due to the obstacles and difficulties in the way as it took its steps. No, that baby's fall was due to its little strength and experience. That was the cause of its fall. It's easy for us to blame the obstacles. It's easy for us to blame God. It's easy to find fault in that loving house in which God has placed us. But if I am despondent this morning, it's because my faith in God is feeble. And it's because while I have knowledge of the Word of God intellectually up here, my faith concerning the promises are feeble. The Lord Jesus is always telling his people this because it is a common problem in the people of God. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 30. We read, they'll not go into the context. Context is worrying about this and worrying about that, so on and so forth. And verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, And here's the problem.
Here is the problem.
Here's the cause of the worry and the despondency. The Lord puts his hand right on it.
Oh, you of little faith.
That's the problem, child of God. Now we have to, before we can even look at the cure, we have to know the problem. That's your problem. Oh, ye of little faith. Not, oh, ye of little knowledge. Oh, ye of little faith. Chapter 8, verse 26. The storm, the fears, the dread, the despondency, we're going to perish. Verse 26, why are ye fearful? My Lord, do you not see the storm? Do you not see the boat full of water?
Why are ye fearful?
No, no. It's not the storm. It's not the water. Why are there fears in your heart?
Little faith. Little faith. That's the cause.
Chapter 14, that passage that we read, verse 31. The Lord said to Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, if someone asked Peter, what happened to you there, Peter? Why did you go down there? And why did you panic? And why did you make yourself into a little girl crying out like that when you can swim? Why did you get into a state of mind as you did? Well, it was a storm. Oh, I looked at the storm.
Is that the cause, Peter?
O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So, child of God, if you have this depressed mindset, don't be looking everybody else to blame. If you have this depressed mindset, the fault is in here. Through negligence, through unwatchfulness, through prayerlessness, through neglect of the word of God, through neglect of taking hold of the promises, your strength has decayed. And you are not mounting up with wings as an eagle and soaring in the heavenlies with the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keeping your mind and heart. You're not soaring up there because you have no faith. Through your own fault. Face up to it. Face up to it. Acknowledge it. And say, Lord, help thou my unbelief.